The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Are we still too cool for God? That's the question. Plus, Ray Bentley strikes again, Pastor Ray, as he hits our purpose for being alive. Plus, God calls you and me to be top center.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. I mean, just, it's so much more. I think I'm going to have to get a truck to put all of the extra more in the truck, drive the truck with me wherever I go, because there's that much more on the radio show. That's how much more. Keep in mind, we're always asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. I got a feeling somebody's going to want me to use a dump truck on that last little bit right there. Here's the bottom line. Any topic open for conversation, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. This is going to be a test. Did you hear me? This is going to be a test, because Wonder Julie has been given some new sounds, and we're going to try and work this out the best we can. The first thing we're going to do is we're just going to mention the people that are ministry partners with us. We're going to start off by mentioning Men of God Moving.
Well, we're moving on now, to the side.
See how good we are. That is fantastic. Great job. MenOfGodMoving.com. You know that's Johnny Hill. He hangs out with us a lot. He's going to be here tomorrow. And I got another surprise about tomorrow coming up. Their phone number, 817-707-7672. If you are looking for somebody to help you make a move and you really just don't want to be price gouged, I mean, that's it. You just want it to be fair. You don't want them to make, you know, they don't mind. You don't mind if people make money. You just don't want them to make their entire month on your move. That's all you're looking for. Just be fair about it, right? Facebook, Men of God Moving, one of our ministry partners, Johnny Hill. Let me just give a big golf clap to Wonder Julie. Good job on that one. Thank you very much for that.
No worries.
Okay. Right, we added those yesterday. And we got another one coming. So you're going to see it's just
I got the other one.
We're ready. Let's talk about some of the exciting things that are taking place today. Nobody knows this, but today is National Bobblehead Day.
Okay.
So that's not bad. Number two, and this one's a little closer to me, it's Harlem Globetrotters Day. And I actually had Meadowlark Lemon at the church that I was pastoring in Flagstaff come and speak at the church, and I've talked to him on multiple occasions. Big Christian witness, love the Lord Jesus. So I can buy into that. And I remember one. Do you remember when you first saw the Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, they were awesome.
When it was fun.
Oh, they're still out there.
Yeah, still out there, and they still have not lost to the Washington Generals. Longest streak in sports history ever. Incredible. And then finally, today is I'm Not Going to Take It Anymore Day. This can go in so many directions, and it can go so bad so fast. I'm just going to leave that there. Let's just say it has to do with maybe putting up with the enemy versus people that you're living with or doing business with. Let's just do that. On this day in 1929, here's a twist. Nobody knows this. But on the same day, Buck Rogers and Tarzan were both released as comic strips. On the same day. Like, could you get different than Tarzan and Buck Rogers? This had to be a plan. For those that like cooking, today was the original day in 1896. The Fanny Farmer Cookbook came out.
Okay.
For those that understand, never lived in Michigan, Fanny Farmer's fudge was everything everybody lived for at camp. It was our existence. And then finally, in 1963, on this day, first class postage went from 4 cents to 5 cents.
What is it now? Like 45 cents?
Yeah. It's like $1.55 to get an envelope, and then it's another three. Then it's $3 to drive down to the post office, $1.50 for an envelope, 50 cents for a stamp, and then a $9 exit fee.
And you have to put a quarter in the door before it will even open.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's no.
Like, come on, people. We know what's going on there. Anyway, doing their best, but they've, you know, relatively low comparatively. But four, can you imagine 4 cents? I saw a movie the other day, and this is back when I was a younger kid, and a lot of people will remember this, but, you know, the gas was 32 cents a gallon.
Oh, I don't remember that far back.
I was going, oh, my goodness.
But I know when it was in the 80s, they were saying, oh, it's a crisis. I was like, there's not going to be gas when I get a driver's license.
Funny you should say that, because tomorrow we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah.
And that prediction, exactly. Okay. Very good. Excellent job. Let's go right into our first one before we do anything else. I want to talk about this too cool for God thing. Okay? Now, this has to do with people that are... I want to be very careful how I want to say this. Instead of glowing, they're frozen. That's kind of the nicest way to say this. Let me read two passages and get into this. I mentioned this before, and yes, I am doing this again on purpose. If you're like, have I heard this before? Yes, you have heard this before, but I'm a little bit different take on it. I want you to catch this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 36, it says this. When he had said this, referring to Paul, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. Acts chapter 21, verse 5. And when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. All the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and there we went on the beach, and we knelt to pray. So Paul's example, the disciples' example, the early church example of praying had a lot to do with kneeling. In fact, we even have worship songs in our church that say, we bow down. I mean, it's, you know, at the foot or at the cross of Jesus. We sing these songs, right, about kneeling. And just for those that don't know, kneeling is a sign of humility and dependence. That's what it is. Unfortunately, there are times where societal dignity can strip away from awesome simplicity, and this is how we pretty much deal with things now. Well, let's everybody gather together as we pray over the food. Let us close our eyes and bow our heads. Now, there's a couple things I want to say. Number one, the modern approach, there's nothing wrong with shutting down distractions by closing your eyes, and certainly the sense of reverence by bowing our heads. But I do want to say that in Scripture, the examples we get are people who are praying in the temple, and they won't even lift their head to look up to heaven. That's how much humility and dependence they operate in. There are times in Scripture where it talks about Jesus praying, just so you can know for reference sake. In one reference, it says he opened his eyes and looked up towards heaven. In other words, he was looking towards heaven with his eyes open. So in my wife's family, and I love my wife's family, my stepdad is like my dad and has been for years and years and years. My dad was a little more distant, and Bruce, my stepdad, fantastic. And not my stepdad, my father-in-law, I mean. And then my mother-in-law, Julie, also fantastic. Just two great people in the Lord. But when the family gets together to pray, what do? They get in a circle. And they'll hold hands and they'll pray. And a couple of people in the family are not really real strong believers. We're not believers at all. Maybe a better way to say that. And what they do is they get in a circle and they pray. And then Bruce will lead the prayer. And the kids, so this is my wife, her sister, and her brothers, they'll close their eyes because he'll say, close your eyes. And then they'll open one eye real squinty-like and see who's got their eye open so they can bust them. Okay? That's what it's become. But I want to say something about that because I think it's rather awesome that people do that, but I think it's just as awesome to have a extremely less than dignified by society standards attitude unto the Lord. If you're worshiping and there is this moment where you feel like, I want to bow down before the Lord, you can always, and just listen to what I'm saying, you can always go in the back of the church so it's non-attention getting, because you should never do anything that's attention getting in a service. That's not the intent. But the idea is that we're so dignified now we can't bow down. We're so dignified now we can't kneel down. My favorite time of all of life, and I still remember the afternoon, was when I was pastoring in Flagstaff and I closed the church doors and I locked them and I put on 3 or 4 worship CDs and I turned it on full blast and I went into the sanctuary and I laid before the Lord and I just let those songs go. And for 3 hours, I was just worshiping the Lord. Best time ever. And it's like, why is that important? Because my body posture communicates to God where I am at. And I'm not even worthy to lift my head. If you're looking for some pretty good examples, I think 2 Samuel 6:21-22 probably stands out. David said to Michael, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by those slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. In other words, his commitment to the Lord, his willingness to be undignified before the Lord was so strong that he just did not care what other people thought. And that is the key. I don't think anything that you and I do in the prayer life or in our life should be so that we can have a camera on us, so that you can have a spotlight, so you can have a little stage and do a little tap dance. But I think the opposite is equally bad, and that is not being willing to bow before the Lord. Because I can tell you one thing that's going to happen for sure. When you and I get to heaven, you're not standing the whole time. If you're unaware, you're going to do plenty of bowing for millions and millions of years. You might as well get used to it. There's not only is there nothing wrong with it, but reverently, appropriately, not before other people, but before the Lord, it's honorable. And I hope that from time to time, no matter what kind of church you go to, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a very strict and you have to come in bow ties kind of church. I don't care. What I'm trying to tell you is that you should never be so dignified that you're not willing to be before the Lord as he would ask you to be or as you need to be. If he never asks you to bow, don't worry about it. You'll do plenty of bowing in about 100 years or less. But the reality check is that if you are a person who doesn't, you're not expressive because you're more concerned about what other people think, stop living your life for what other people think. Your Lord and Master watches everything. Do it as unto him, not unto your neighbor in that capacity. Get that? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. But it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry. Okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy, showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to fight.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to tell you. Website, hemustincrease.org. I think I did mention that the state of Texas has received our materials and are processing them. The IRS is we have our EIN number. We're moving forward in our nonprofit position. That does mean that on hemustincrease.org, as we are moving it forward, when you give, you are able to deduct it. That's kind of nice. But we have a real passion for more radio and for more encouragement, more time, so we're working in that direction. To let you know, if you want to reach me, david@hemustincrease.org. So hemustincrease.org, moving it into the ministry element, and hemustincrease.org then leads way to david@hemustincrease.org if you want to reach to touch base with me. And YouTube, today we filed our motion to change the channel, and that will be He Must Increase Ministry on YouTube. You getting what we're doing? You getting where we're going? You following this? He Must Increase. I went through a couple of different reviews on it. I love this. And in the teaching I'm about to do after I talk about our ministry partner and after we do a trivia question, I'm going to show you something, a devotional that came from Pastor Ray today. Phenomenal. All about the increase. And so I love this stuff because it's just really gelling together and I'm really blessed by it. But before we get there, let's acknowledge our ministry partner. This ministry partner is our good friend Clint and the crew at Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke cleanup, wind and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services, free evaluation, advanced drying technologies. Let's just keep it real. If you have a problem and something happened at your house, no matter what it was caused by, you get in touch with Mr. Restore and Clint will help you out. They'll take care of you. Now, you can reach them by going to MrRestore.com. Mr. M-R. Restore, the word restore, .com. They also link to our website, as you know, as well as Johnny and the Men of Moving. But I'm just saying, for any kind of cleanup, restoration, bring it back together, restore it kind of mentality, they respond and they're on site within 60 minutes. They get thousands of happy customers. As you know, they're connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation, of which we support, my wife and I. And we just believe strongly that these are people that have the right character and the right spirit, and we encourage you to participate with them. And we love them. They're great. I mean, Clint, they're great people. and stuff that's going on with my daughter. I'll give you an update in the next segment. But when something's going on and it's an update, he's one of the people that I notify. There's five people I notify. He's one of them. That speaks well of his character, I think. All right? Okay. I will say this. I'll just say this about my daughter real quickly. It looks like, if all goes on track, about a week from Friday, that the baby will be able to come home from the hospital. That'd be the first time he'd be home from the hospital in 70-plus days. So we are thankful, and we are hopeful, and we are praying for that. Okay, here's our first trivia question. How many years of famine did Joseph prophesy to Pharaoh? How many years of famine did Joseph prophesy to Pharaoh? Remember when Joseph was in prison and unjustly? It doesn't show him complaining a whole bunch. But anyway, he had that opportunity to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. What was the answer? How many years of famine? How many tough years did he prophesy about? Our number here, 972-445-0770. Doesn't look like I'm even going to get out of the gate. Somebody's already got an answer. Could be one of our regulars. Could be somebody just checking in. We're going to find out right now as I answer the phone. This is Dave. Did you want your pepperoni to have some pizza with it?
No, I eat kosher.
Hey, Sam, what's going on?
Hey, not much.
How are you, brother?
I was praying for you and your grandchild, and I'm praying that no more seizure in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And good to hear the good news that he'll be coming home. So, yeah, so you guys are in my prayer today.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and the answer is 7 years.
That is correct, sir! Fantastic, my friend. That is exactly right. So it's 7 years, seven really good years, seven really bad years. They didn't think much about the good years and didn't prepare for the bad, which is why it got so messy. So excellent job. How are you doing?
I continue to keep you and your family and your grandchild in my prayer and keep it up the good work.
Well, thank you, brother. I assume that your Christmas and your New Year's and everything was just wonderful for you. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And I hope you had a good Hanukkah as well.
Yes, thank you, brother. See, you could just explain dreidel to people.
So l'chaim.
L'chaim, my friend.
All right. Shalom and bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Great job. There you go. That's how you start a show. All right. Sam kind of 7 years. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of no plenty. See, 7 years of good and plenty, and then 7 years of uh-oh. I didn't prepare for it. So I'm doing my devotional runs today, and I've been telling you, I tell people everything as much as I can. I try to tell you everything that's going on. My devotion time's long. I kind of wish I was sometimes born in the earlier days, only because, you know, when they're really long, it's like it's not everything's by a clock, so it just takes a long time for me. So one of the things that when I finished my devotions, I came across was something that Pastor Ray is a friend of mine. He's the senior pastor of Maranatha Chapel in Escondido, California. Great guy. He's the one that helped me get back on radio. So I have a lot of respect for somebody who calls you up and has the courage to say, you're doing the wrong thing. Go do this for God. That's a good attitude. Anyway, he wrote this, and I want to read it, because it's phenomenal in regards to our connection to He Must Increase. HeMustIncrease.org being our website. The reason that I bring that up and the reason that I went with it is because it's just very simple. In my life, I want more. I want more of the Lord. I want more of the Father in my life. I want more of the Son in my life. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And when people go, oh, well, that's not biblical, tell it to Moses, who said, I need to see more of you. There's just no, I want more of the Lord. And when you're in heaven, it's going to be all God all the time. It's like, awesome. That's what I want. So he wrote this really cool, short devotional. I want to read it to you. It's from Ray Bentley, Pastor Ray Bentley. It says this, I can't hardly wait to continue my course. He's quoting Philippians 1:20 from the Message, which is a paraphrase. So just recognize that. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. On the contrary, everything happened to me in this jail, and it only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. Okay, so that's a paraphrase of Philippians 1:20. Here's what he wrote. The author of those words, the Apostle Paul, knew his purpose for being alive, for existing on this earth. He didn't necessarily know what he was going to be doing all the time, but he knew why God created him. And because of that, he was excited about life. Listen to him. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. Oh, that we would all wake up every day feeling like that. Can you imagine waking up going, I can't wait to continue on my course? Paul was free even in prison. He wrote that letter in prison. He possessed a kind of freedom I wish we all could know. He had learned to be vulnerable, open, his weakness exposed, his faults on display, his failures open to the public conjectures, but he knew why he was alive. The logo for a missionary organization displays an ox on one side and an altar on the other with the words ready for either, ready to work, ready to worship, ready for life, ready for death. That's how Paul lived. He could be set free because he lived that way, and he could be executed because he lived that way. It didn't matter. The door could swing either direction. He was ready. Paul had one goal in life, to bring Jesus closer to people. He must increase, I must decrease. To allow others to see Jesus through his life, to let people see Jesus' glory and grace. It's hard to see God's glory and grace in people who seem perfect, intimidating, and super successful. So Paul had to live his life in prison, in public, letting the world see how Jesus overcame his failures, he strengthened his weaknesses, and worked through them in spite of his shortcomings. Just, that's a brilliant line right there. Jesus had one goal during his life on earth, to show humanity the Father. He accomplished this through public ministry or just by hanging out with people. His life was filled with joy when he healed and taught, and with sorrow as he wept for those who hurt. He was admired and worshipped. He was hated and rejected. He was crucified, all so we could come to know the Father. It's out of John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he ends it with a quote from Francis Schaeffer, the great theologian. Man, made in the image of God, has a purpose to be in relationship with God who is there. Man forgets his purpose, and thus he forgets who he is and what life means. Wow! That's one of the best devotions I have ever read on those short devotionals. Because we should have one goal, and that's to bring Jesus closer to people. As we go closer in, as we get closer in, we should help people get closer with us. When you move towards the Lord, you should put your arms out in a loving manner to bring people as you go towards the Lord with you towards the Lord. That's what it's about. He has to increase. There has to be more of him. I'm telling you, you want an answer to your situation? I can tell you right now, all the things you can tell me in the world. I've gone through all that up and down. I've gone through the death. I've gone through birth. I've gone through life. I've seen a lot of that. A ton of it. I've been involved in probably 30 deaths in my lifetime, which is a lot. And here's the bottom line. The answer is always more of God. It has never been anything better or anything less. The answer is he must increase. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father, who does not change his Christian convictions, will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, website, hemustincrease.org, from John 3:30. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. YouTube, soon to be, He Must Increase Ministry. That's singular, by the way, for those that are trying to figure that out. He Must Increase, HMI. I love it. Okay, here we go. This is a new one, so we're going to try this one. This should be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to, tomorrow, we're going to have the privilege in the studio, not only with Johnny Hill, but also with our latest ministry partner, Stephanie Vasquez.
If you got a problem, don't care what it is. If you need a hand, I can assure you.
There you go. How good is that? Do you like that? So she, what she does is she does insurance. She works for insurance. I can help. I love it. So Stephanie Vasquez is going to be a part of what we're doing here. She's from New York Life Insurance Company. She's going to, when she gets on the air, she's going to give you all your contact information. I'm just preparing the way for her. We are going to meet with her tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and then we'll head over to the studio. Excited to have her on board. You'll get the chance to know. I think what you're going to find out is her heart and her mind and her relationship with the Lord is where you and I are at. And I think you'll enjoy connecting with her. And hopefully, if there's any needs or anything you have going on in any realm in insurance, you can touch base with Stephanie and figure out that she can help. And that's what it's about, right? Oh, I love it. You have to love it. And so we'll have all our contact information on the site, and we'll have, she'll give us all the contact information. Very excited for New York Life Insurance Company agent Stephanie Vasquez. And she's going to tell me I'm saying her last name wrong, so just get ready for that. Okay, let's get our next trivia question. I'm just trying to think if I should do a hard one or not a hard one. I don't know, Wonder Julie. Should it be hard or should it be easy? What do you think?
I don't really think it matters with our listeners. Somebody out there is going to know it.
They're pretty good at that, aren't they? Yeah. All right, fine. This is at the higher level for people. I will tell you the answer is in 1 Corinthians, and then I'll give you more of a specified answer towards it. But here it is. What's the largest amount of people that saw Jesus after he resurrected? the largest amount, like in one, in what's the largest? There's a number that's given. So I'm really looking for that. How many people saw Jesus after he came back from the dead? Then it lists a various amount of people, and then it talks about a large number. I will tell you that is in the last part of the book of 1 Corinthians. If you think you know, now you can guess and be wrong. I can help you get there. But if you think you know, or if you want to look it up, just don't Google it. Just kind of, you know, try and pursue it, look at it like the right way. 972-445-0770. So Jesus, he rose, he appeared to Mary, he appeared to Cephas, he appeared to, you know, different people. And then there was one number that it was in like this larger group setting, which is a really interesting number. Somebody's already calling in. I can't believe anybody knows that that fast. That's better than I can do. That's pretty good stuff. But I think they're coming on. Let's see. Looks like it. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hollis Morgan.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, thank you for calling in. Did you know this one right away, or did you kind of look it up?
No, I knew it right off the top of my head.
Wow. That is impressive. I mean, I'm not kidding. That's good. All right. So what was that large number? Jesus, after he came back from the dead, appeared to a few individuals, but appeared to the 12, well, the 11, and then he appeared to, you know, a bunch of people. What was the big number that he appeared to?
500.
That is correct. You are right. Excellent job, man. And you just knew that off the top of your head?
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yay!
Excellent job. Thank you for calling in. Great job on that. Great answer.
Well, you're welcome, and thank my wife for dialing the number.
Tell her I said thank you. That's awesome. Partnership, man. That's the way to do it. Partnership. You got it. God bless you. Take care. Okay. Excellent job. Very, very good. So that's cool. That's more than 500 at once. That's not a few people. I don't know if you've been to church. That's a lot of people. Great job. Excellent job. Excellent. We thank his wife for calling in. That was the key. All right. Let me real quickly review this Luke chapter 18 portion. I want to talk about this real fast. Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. And here's what it says. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this meant. Jesus the Nazarene is passing by, they told him. So he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then those in front told him to keep quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to them. When he drew near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. Receive your sight, Jesus told him. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, he could see, and he began to follow Jesus, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. All right, couple things to run by you real fast. I am always thoughtful and try to be protective of the flock at large, the ecclesia, more than any particular denomination. When people get prayed for, sometimes the person who is getting prayed for has the faith. Sometimes the people who are bringing the person to the Lord has the faith. Sometimes it's the person that does the praying has the faith. Not in Jesus' case, but I'm saying in like Peter and Paul. And so the idea is that faith can come from a number of different places. It's not a requirement that it be here, there, or anywhere. It's faith. And when faith is active, God is operating. It is impossible to please God outside of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith is the vehicle God has chosen for you and I to engage with him in. He gives us the gospel by grace. We receive it by faith. And it's like that is the operation system. You might not like all the way that God does stuff, which is really kind of too bad, because if you don't like it, argue with him when you see him. But the bottom line is faith is a critical element on all of that. In this circumstance, you have a guy who's blind. He's in a bad situation. And what is he doing? He's crying out. He hears that Jesus of the Nazarene is passing by, and you can bet, especially in a society like Jesus was walking through, that any piece of good news would flash through society so fast because things were tough. And what's the first thing that happens? In verse 39, it says, then those in the front told him to be quiet. The very first thing is the people around him were discouraging him. Even though they were following Jesus too, which is amazing. And they know that Jesus is doing powerful works. He's doing all these things. He has his reputation that's preceded him. He's going in. He's getting close to Jericho. The people are out there. This guy's crying out to Jesus, and they're like, quiet, quiet, be quiet. So this guy does something that I think you and I should do more. And it connects to the very first segment when I talked about being a little less dignified. You know what he did? He cried out louder. See, instead of going, oh, they're telling me to be quiet, I'll be quiet now. It's like, oh, no, you guys don't have a heaven to put me in. None of you are going to heal me. So he cried out even more. That's what I want to mention. The second half of verse 39, but he kept crying out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. By him saying son of David, by the way, that was a recognition of the messiahship of Christ. How good did that go? He got Jesus' attention, didn't he? So it went pretty well. He got to Jesus. That was his goal. He wanted to get the attention of the Lord, and he did. People were there to discourage. And it's not as though those people had the intent to discourage. Maybe it seemed undignified. Maybe it didn't seem like the proper order. Maybe they just weren't sure that Jesus would or wouldn't do something. But if somebody is hurting and in a bad situation and they need to cry out, let them. Encourage them to. Cry out with them. Hey, Jesus, look over here. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Because that attention getting is what set everything in motion. And what I want to say about the lesson is in this, understand this, don't take this so that you can be mean about it. Take this so that you can be a person of faith. Let no one stop you from pursuing and reaching Jesus, no matter what the situation. Don't let anybody stop you from crying out. Don't let anybody, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's your best friend. I don't care if it's your mom and dad. I don't care if it's your kids. It doesn't matter who it is in all the world. You don't let anybody stop you from pursuing and reaching Jesus ever. Because it could be that very last yelp, that very last cry for help in which the Lord responds to it. And it's like, that makes it worth it. And I think of this guy, I don't know how I would have responded. I don't know if I'd have been one of those people in the crowd that would have told them to hush up. Probably, just because I'm kind of weird that way. Even though I would have been encouraging. I'm one of those people that would have said, be quiet. And then the Lord would have called them up and I would have said, gee, the Lord called you. And then be all cheery for him. That's how it's referred to in another text. It's like, yeah, I need to do better. I should encourage people to cry out no matter where they're at, no matter what they're going through. And they don't have to cry out the way I would. I don't care how they cry. As long as they pursue the Lord, that is what we're looking for. So the lesson, don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody stop me. Don't let anybody stop those around you from pursuing and reaching Jesus. I love that Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? I love that because it's almost as though the Lord focuses his faith after going through such a rough ride to get there. Don't let anybody stop you from pursuing the Lord, okay? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want any of the sounds that we have for our ins and outs, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com. That is a place that you can get the sounds for free. It's called the Hymn, H-Y-M-N, Project. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And actually on Facebook, it's He Must Increase Ministry, but we're fighting.
I'm trying to get them to respond. That's number one.
Number two, I'll let you know that we always need prayer. No question about that. We have a vision and a hope to have more radio and to have more time, more stations, more everything, which we're trying to get to. And then number three, my network extender broke. So I'm really happy because I came in here and was doing all the work, and my network extender that makes the Wi-Fi work better when I'm here as opposed to where its core is, it's not working. So, I don't want to speak in my third tongue when I'm dealing with technology, but technology and me, not friends. As my wife lovingly says, I'm like Magneto. I touch something, it's computer-oriented, it has any electronic to it, and then there's a disaster. That's me. All right, tomorrow we got Stephanie and then Johnny Hill going to be a part of what we're doing. Got a lot of things going on, some things I'm going to share with you piece by piece so as not to just unload on you. Here is one of the few times you will hear me do a political segment. I'm not talking about politics. Politics, for those that don't know, poly means many. Ticks are blood-sucking insects. So if you haven't figured that out yet, you better. I'm going to talk about this from a kingdom perspective. I have friends, I know it's hard to believe, that are on different levels of the political spectrum.
I think some friends are closer to the truth than others, but I think there is a gap, and I want to talk about that gap, and that's the most important thing to me, because you can tell me whatever you want, but 30 years from now, all the players, virtually, all the players in the political realm will be dead, but the kingdom of Jesus will still be proclaimed unless he returns. 100 years from now, if the Lord does not return, we have no idea what this country will or won't be, but the kingdom of God will continue. I'm up for backing a winner. I'm a Lions fan. I don't see winning in football. I see a team that gets to the fourth quarter, and instead of hiking the ball, they all lay down. Here's a winner that you will not fail in winning in if you back it. The ultimate. God is not left, and God is not right. People get so mad. When I've taught this multiple times. People get so mad at me. I started radio just when Barack Obama was reelected, started my touch, and they were so mad. And said, look, and then they told me how Barack Obama was the Antichrist. And I said, well, he's the worst one ever. He couldn't unify two pieces of string. You got to be kidding. But here is where I take the text from, and this is where I take the seriousness of it from the Lord. Okay? I mean, it's from Scripture. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Now when Joshua, stop right there. Who is Joshua? Joshua was Moses' successor, the leader of the children of Israel, taking them to the promised land. Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied. But as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. What do you know for sure? The man with the sword was an angel of God, a warrior. And then Joshua asks him this incredible question. Are you for us or for our enemies? You realize he's asking an angel of God, an army soldier in the kingdom of God. Are you for us, Israel, the chosen people of God, the specially selected people of God, or are you for our enemies? Here's the answer. Neither. Wait, you can't be neither. Neither. This is where the understanding of top center comes into play. Look, in this station, it's more conservative and it's going to be much more right. I mean, that's what it is. That's not a problem. But when I pray for our nation, I don't pray that the ground swallows up all the Democrats. I know some of you are, okay? But you know what I pray for? I pray for the righteous influencers in our country to rise and the unrighteous or those who have no righteousness to fall, the influencers to fall, and that God is the one who declares that what that is. Because I know some things, I just don't know everything. But God does, and his judgment I can count on. So if you're thinking, well, you know, are you left? Are you right? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you liberal? Are you conservative? That's a human war. There is a spiritual war that is in play. And while there are manifestations of that spiritual war in some of our political ecosystems and some of our political realms, do not mistake the kingdom of God for the kingdom of man. How could the angel of God say to the commander of the chosen people of God, I am not for you guys. I serve at the pleasure of the Lord. Why? Because he wasn't left. He wasn't right. He was top center. So you might be saying, well, what's your message on this? That Joshua, the chosen leader of God's chosen people, surrendered at the moment to God's direction, desire, and message. That he was standing on holy ground, God's land. and it's for God's purposes, which are set apart from man's understanding. We must respect top center. I don't mind if you have a political position. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't like some of the things I hear. But I am not going to get swayed into a war that's lower when the war that God has called me to has to do with advancing the kingdom. I'm not going to get tossed about. Now, does that mean I don't vote? Of course I vote. Does that mean I don't have an opinion? I'm a Jewish guy. Two Jews, three opinions. But what it also means is that I have much more respect for the kingdom of God. And there's going to come a point where all this stuff is going to boil over. And it's going to get nutty. You know? And you had better make your allegiance now for the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of men. Do you remember the argument? I brought this up before. Do you remember the argument? The Obama administration did that whole, you know, you didn't build this. We built this. You built it because of us. And then the other people would respond, no, no, we did this with our own sweat and blood, with our own money, with our own funding. Remember that argument? And it was a huge argument. And everybody was taking sides. You know, nobody bothered to read Acts chapter 17 where it says that every breath comes from God. Not either side said, well, first of all, God gets the credit because he gave us all breath. So therefore, we can do whatever. Not one side said that. And it's like, unbelievable. That's the wrong spirit for a person who is a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. God gives you every breath, and every breath is a gift. So whatever it is you do, whether it's collectively or individually, you only do because God allows, period. And that's who's supposed to get the credit first. In fact, in that same passage, God talks about nations, leaders, how the extension of borders go to limits that he declares. All of this stuff, all of it, is in the palm or the hand of God. Now, you think God's up there going, oh my gosh, what are they going to do next? That's not the God you serve. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and being on his side first is called seeking first the kingdom of God. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.